Welcome back to the Make or Break Show, where each week we bring stories of incredible makers and the make or break moments that have defined them along the way. I'm your host, Brandon, and this week we are chatting with Andrew, aka AG Does It, all about his collaboration with Ricky Saeda, where they built a giant wooden Game Boy that is actually playable. We get into the design process as well as all the crazy electronics he put inside. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Hope you are doing amazing. We have a really, really cool interview for you guys this week. If you didn't know, way back when the show first started, I was actually doing a couple episodes a week, or it was actually 6 episodes a month. So I would do something every other week called the Make or Break Showcase, where we would feature a really cool project that someone was working on. And eventually the projects and the kind of the background stories all kind of merged together. And so now we just do kind of a standard episode. But if I was still doing that, this definitely would have been one of those style episodes, because Andrew has made an amazing build. It really blew up on Instagram. A couple weeks back, there was a challenge on Instagram called the Makers Collab 2020. And that was the hashtag Maker Collab 2020. And there was this Game Boy that just started popping up all over the place. And Andrew was part of a 2-person team, because it was a collaboration build with Ricky, who's actually in New York. And Ricky did the woodworking, and then Andrew actually did a lot of the electronics and everything inside. And if you guys haven't seen this Game Boy, I mean, you really need to check it out. We record a video as well with this, and so he actually shows some of the build with the video going over on YouTube. You guys can check that out in the show notes, or just look up Make or Break Show on YouTube. But Andrew does some really, really cool stuff. He has lots of the digital fabrication tools that I love to check out, and he's just a really fun guy. So this is a really, really cool interview, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And if you guys haven't seen the Game Boy, again, check it out on Instagram. Look him up, AG Does It, and you'll be able to check it out there. But before we get into the interview, as always, thank you so much to the awesome and the wonderful supporters over on Patreon. You guys supporting means the absolute world to me. So this show would not be possible without you guys. And if you guys would like to support, you can head over to patreon.com/makeorbreakshop. And not only will you support this podcast, which comes out on a weekly basis, but you also support all the builds and everything I do over on the website. And then two quick updates for you guys. I usually put these updates at the end, but one especially is probably going to impact kind of the podcast here in the next couple weeks. So either today or tomorrow, I'll be going to the hospital with my wife, and we'll be having our second child. So we actually might be going today, as I'm trying to record this pretty quick. But so the podcast might not be coming out next week, but just hang tight, and I will be back with more episodes in the future. And so that's crazy. And then the other thing that's coming very soon as well, once I get back, is I have finished up this big course on Fusion 360. If you guys are interested in 3D modeling, and you want to get into kind of the full process, how to go from, I've never even downloaded the program, how do I get it, to you have a full 3D model that can scale with dimensions, you can make plans, you can do renders, you can even do joints. I put all of that inside of this course, and I've been making it with some folks, getting feedback along the way, and it is now officially finished. Actually, a couple tweaks I still need to make to it, but you can actually check it out now. It's over on the website. You just click at the top on the store and you can check it out. But in addition to that, there's actually a free course where I just did a 3D model a bed. And so I've got a bed design that I'm going to be building here very soon. And you guys can check that out for free, kind of give it a feel for what the course would be like, and then go into the course. And if you guys do want to do it, there's a link in the show notes that's going to give you $20 off, or you can just use the promo code podcast once you go in, and you can save some money there. So be sure and check that out. That also helps support the show. So I hope you are doing amazing. And without further ado, let's jump into our interview with Andrew. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. We're hanging out with Andrew today, chatting about building Game Boys completely out of wood that are ginormous, as well as a bunch of other cool stuff that you do. But man, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting. Looking forward to getting into your history, especially this crazy build that you did.
Yeah, thank you so much. This Game Boy is more of a collaboration build where I collaborated with a buddy of mine, Ricky Saeda. where he was like a master carpenter, and I was always looking for a project where I could include electronics or make things come alive. So this collab project was definitely something that I was looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah. And it does seem this was part of a builder's challenge, right?
Yeah, exactly. This was like the first annual maker collab challenge by two folks over on Instagram. I think there were about 14 teams that ended up competing against each other. So it was fun watching everybody put together this stuff, and definitely a lot more fun, watching everybody and contributing and seeing everything in action.
Yeah, yeah. And so you guys won, right?
Yeah, yeah. it was a little nerve-wracking because, some of the other competitors had, larger followings than us, and we felt like, they would have a bigger push in getting more votes in for their own builds, but it panned out pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I definitely want to get into the build, but before that, I'd love to give folks kind of some just context about you. First, if you're in California, is that right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And, so Northern California.
And then did I see that your day job is you're a litigation consultant? Is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of wild, right? I just kind of fell into this job. And my job as a litigation consultant has to deal with presentation and audio-video presentation. So lawyers hire me to develop graphics and whatnot to create a presentation at a trial to make things easy to understand for a jury.
Oh, cool.
But not only do the graphics exist, but I'm actually the person in the courtroom presenting them with my laptop. So kind of like the DJ in the courtroom, if they have a request for a piece of evidence or something, then I would be the guy to put it up on the screen for them.
I didn't even know. I always thought that was like a clerk or something, like when I've been on jury
duty.
Those are all consultants that
are in the niche market. It is half and half. There are a lot of courtrooms that do have their clerks that actually do that stuff. But, for the higher profile cases, which I've been blessed to be a part of, they have dedicated, professionals to actually do all of that because, the clerks already have their own full-time jobs. So my sole purpose is to be the presenter for either side, just one side only. And then there's a counterpart who's kind of going against me. My personal job is to give the jury a reason not to fall asleep and be the most entertaining person on our side. So
yeah, yeah. How did you fall into that? Yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of like by chance. They had an audio-video entry-level VHS back in the day. I was a VHS duplicator, and I would just get videos from legal videographers and dubbing them and then putting out on CD, and also having to deal with transcripts and synchronizing them to video and having a scrolling text kind of thing going. Got bored of that after 3 months, and they said they have an opening for a trial presenter. I'm like, well, what's that about? So
yeah,
all kind of fell into place. And I have a music background, so kind of performing and rehearsing the day before or whatever, it kind of was hand in hand, and it was cakewalk for me, and I had a lot of fun. There was a lot of travel too, so
yeah,
that's definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that was something that I was like, dang, when I was looking just through your Instagram, and then all of these like piano videos started popping up, and I was like, man, he's really good. And it was almost like you were taking a request and then just like playing it perfectly, at least to me it seemed like. So was that just something growing up, like have you always been into music?
It was, yeah. I've never taken piano classes, and I've been playing by ear my whole life, but my dad would remind me, or my mom would remind me of the early years that I would she knew that there was something there. I was probably 4 years old, and I was playing replaying the Mario theme on the piano. And then I graduated, went to the Zelda theme on the piano.
Yeah.
and just playing things by ear and so that kind of took off, but I've never actually set foot in a classroom, only one time. And when I tried to pursue music, my first day of college, music or piano 101, and I have already taught myself a lot about piano and kind of how to read notes, basically, that my first day there, at the end of the day, I was ending up teaching the teacher of the stuff that I've learned, because they've just recently started using a software for teaching piano.
Oh, cool.
Rather than the old school book way.
Right.
So, and I'd already learned that program. So
I already finished the program before I entered that, and I didn't even know they were using the same program. So I got kind of bored.
Yeah.
So I left college and made a recording studio. So it was from music, producing music, and then I found an interest in video, did a stint for that for a while, had a wedding videography company for like 15 years. And then I met my wife, and we got into DIY and making, and picked up a saw in 2014, I think. And
okay.
That's been a passion ever since. Then I got into lasers, digital fabrication. That's kind of my strong suit now. So it's a fun journey.
Okay, so that makes way more sense, because when I saw the preview, or like the highlight reel, I guess, of the Game Boy, mm-hmm. I was like, this guy's done video stuff before. Like, he's not just throwing stuff up there. So we're doing it for 15 years. And then I started looking, I was like, oh, there's a Vimeo that has like wedding videos. Okay, so he's done this reel, which is fun.
Yeah.
So do you do a lot of video stuff now, or is it still, is it just kind of around the DIY stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of around video, but you know, I don't do any weddings anymore. I kind of dissolved that business, but it's what I'm doing right now is kind of a culmination of all of my past experiences. So eventually, and this is kind of like a high, I guess, goal to reach, but I'd like to make videos that incorporate kind of all of my experience, where maybe I might produce the music bed behind on the video, or I might incorporate making music with woodworking tools, or, you know, just kind of a mashup of different creative techniques.
Yeah, that's
and cool. Making a video out of it.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want to like do kind of the traditional quote-unquote like build video style with your own flavor to it? Like, is that an area you're going to, or is it just kind of a you'll build as you find something fun to do?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of in that space right now where I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to be in that end, because I don't necessarily find myself as somebody who would describe step by step
right,
you know, my build videos. I mean, if you know Laura Kopf, like, I love her cinematic style, where she doesn't talk, but she puts labels there. And I feel like maybe I might be that kind of person who just doesn't talk and just kind of watch me do kind of videos. So yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. And I wanted to start a YouTube channel. So I first put up the promo video for the Game Boy just to kind of get my feet wet. But now I've got tons of footage that I want to try to figure out how I'm going to do this, or, you know, I'm not big on narration or voiceovers, but who knows, maybe I might just need to practice with it and get good at it.
Okay. So before getting into the build, and we don't have to talk a ton about it, but so you said that you and your wife run, you already told me, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but Buvara?
It's Buvara.
Buvara. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You guys like do custom fabrications for parties? Is that kind of how you describe it?
Yeah. So Buvara kind of started with our wedding in 2014, and we did the whole DIY thing. And this is where I just kind of, we bought a laser cutter, and we wanted to make invitations and all of that stuff. So our passion for making was exponentially kind of blown up after our wedding, when our wedding vendors would call us up and say, hey, remember that thing you guys made? Can we rent that out from you? And, you know, kind of light bulb went off, and we started making stuff for parties and corporate events. And so we're not, you know, event planners, but it's people would come to us if they want something custom made.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like it's different in Etsy, because they're all mass produced or whatever, or they make a lot of it. But we always trying to make one of a kind of custom displays or props or whatever for themed events.
Yeah. Yeah. The, what we just have made is super cool. I was going through just a bunch of different things, and I was like, this would be a blast to get to work on these. Like you said, they're not like Etsy type stuff. They're like, what's kind of the craziest thing that we can do for this theme or whatever. It looks so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite ones is the Cookie Monster truck.
Yeah.
It was a dessert station, and we were to, I always like to add some kind of interactive feature to it. So my favorite part of it was making the exhaust an oil diffuser that had a cookie scent to it.
That's funny.
Yeah. So you see the smoke coming out, and like it looks like an exhaust, looks like it's running. But when you get closer, you could smell the aroma of like vanilla or whatever, cookie dough, or
yeah,
that was fun.
So you mentioned digital fabrication a little bit. Kind of let people know, like, mm-hmm. what is your kind of shop space? Like, what do you have in there? Like, are you in your shop right now? Is that what?
I am, yeah. Okay, cool. I have behind me a slightly modified full spectrum hobby laser.
Oh, cool.
And then I have an X-Carve,
yep.
Which would eventually be replaced with a new Onefinity CNC that just came out. So I'm going to be testing that for a couple weeks, along with a couple of other, I guess, brand ambassadors. So,
that's awesome.
You know, I don't do a lot of CNC work, but I definitely do a lot of laser work.
With our
party business with Bouvara, we do a lot of cake toppers, a lot of acrylic signs, and you know, things to that effect. So the laser has seen a lot of activity as opposed to the CNC.
Yeah, I need. So I love lasers. There's a full spectrum next to me. You just can't see it. And I've never thought about going to wedding planners. Like that feels like that could be, if you get in with the right people, that could be a pretty good gig. Because it was probably what kind of the same style designs, and you're just changing up names and stuff.
Yeah, it kind of is. But we also try to stay away from what's easily available that you can buy from the United Kingdom for $10.
Okay.
You know, so we go above and beyond, and we have multi-layered cake toppers or things with lights in it, or things that just you can't buy from either TJ Maxx, Home Goods, or Etsy.
right. Yeah, so super, super custom stuff. How do you go about designing stuff? Is it like paper? Do you ever, I mean, I know it has to get digital eventually, but what's that kind of process for you?
Yeah. We don't have a typical design process, but I'm not one to sketch out on paper. I'm never really was good at that. I was like, I would draw stick figures back in my childhood, and that's the extent that it went.
Yeah.
So I'm more of a digital sketcher. So I would jump straight into SketchUp.
Okay.
And do some drawings there. And then I know that for clients who don't always have a big budget for parties or whatever, like kids' parties, they just want something on a napkin. So like my wife would probably be the mastermind in having all the features kind of laid out. She would be drawing on the paper.
Oh, cool.
And then I would digitize it in SketchUp. Or if I came up with an idea first, I would start with SketchUp, and then she would modify it on paper.
So, that's cool.
So, so we'd go there, and then we would send, 3D mockups to our clients, and that usually seals the deal, because
you know,
who doesn't love seeing things in 3D, right?
Yeah.
As with most designs, you come up with something, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to modify, it's going to change, and you'll think of something during the build that might change. But I try to be good at going back to the design file and modifying it based on the as-built kind of version,
right?
Just
right.
In case if in the future I want to offer plans or the SketchUp file, that it'll be accurate to what we actually ended up with.
How did you guys decide to do a Game Boy? Like, kind of where did that idea kind of start from?
So Ricky actually reached out to me when he found out about the Maker Collab Challenge, and I didn't know anything about it. So he reached out to me mainly because he knew that I was kind of on an opposite end of making, where he is like a traditional woodworker. Mm-hmm. He loves doing, you know, hidden techniques and stuff about, you know, doing manually, like he has a scroll saw. He can pretty much do everything I can, but the manual way. Like, he's like, be a man, you know, ditch those lasers and be a man. So we would joke about it with each other through the years. And he finally reached out to me, and he said, you know, I have this idea. You know, the theme about this challenge was to make something that reminds you of your childhood. And the first thing that he came up with was Game Boy. And, you know, he took the words right out of my mouth. So I'm like, oh, dude, we got to do this.
Yeah.
So we had to figure out how we were going to divvy up the tasks to build this thing. And obviously he's the master woodworker. So he would be building the body and kind of appeasing all of the woodworkers out there with all of the techniques that he put in. And then while I would think about how to make all the geeks proud of me and all of the tinkerers, appreciate the insides of the build. So I made the buttons work. He made the buttons out of maple, and then I made them functional. So lot of the face things that he made, pretty much everything you see in the outside was all him. Except for maybe the little laser cut letters and labels and stuff. But okay. And then I worked on the insides and the guts.
That's cool.
It was a long process, and I think we were supposed to end the competition like in April, but because of this whole stay at home thing, it was extended by about a month, and the hosts of the challenge would extend it and gave people more time to work on this. So I kind of went all out and taking advantage another 3 or 4 weeks on this build, since after Ricky was done with the body, he shifted over to me so that I can continue working on it. So
that's cool.
He's kind of jealous because, you know, I had more time to work on it than he did. And he probably only spent like four or five days on it.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. So are you guys close to each other, or how do you know him?
No, he's in New York. Found me through another Instagrammer, and who gave me a shout out, and he started following me. And I remember one comment that he said when he first discovered my account. He said, you know, this is going to – we have similar styles, at least for comedy, and this is going to be a fun follow. And ever since then, we've been kind of going back and forth, making jokes around each other. And, you know, we still haven't met in person. Maybe next year Workbench Con or something that might happen.
Yeah. So even on the front of the Game Boy, like the squigglies and everything, was that something he did by hand on the scroll saw, or was that like a veneer or something that you laser cut and put on top?
No, that was all his. So dang, okay. I think I could show it. Yeah, I have it right here. Thing's a monster.
It is. Oh my gosh. Yes.
This is all hand routed with this palm router.
Oh,
and
wow.
All of the swiggles were all done manually. Yeah. He's amazing at doing things, just diving in and just doing it by hand. He even added a little Easter egg by adding our initials somewhere hidden in these squiggles.
Oh, that's cool.
So he did all of that, with a palm router. Cool technique. When I was seeing his stories while he was making it, when you're using a palm router, you don't want to, when you're done cutting, you don't want to lift it while the spindle's still running.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of have to wait for it to wind down, and then you pull it out and then dip it in again, right? Plunge in. So he was getting frustrated with that, and, having to pull it in and then flip on the switch on the router and potentially mess it up. So he added a foot switch to the router so that he could just turn it on and on with his foot and not have to reach for that power button every time to turn it off. So that was pretty genius. So he probably made about like 200-ish squiggles on here. He wanted to make
Was he freehanding it, or did he have like a design going into it?
No, it was all freehand.
That's cool.
There is no pattern whatsoever in this, and that's the beauty of it. It's because there's no pattern, it disappears into the background, leaving way for the buttons to shine.
Yeah.
Which were painted yellow and pink or hot pink.
That's cool. So the first time that I saw it, because I saw you building it a little bit, and then it must have been when you posted a picture where you were actually holding it, and I didn't realize how, like, I think I was thinking like this is a normal Game Boy size. I was like, oh, this is cool. They're doing like a hardwood Game Boy. And then you pull it up, I'm like, my gosh, this thing is ginormous. Did you guys know from the get-go like you wanted it to be huge so you could do a lot of stuff with it?
Yeah. So the size, we were deciding on the size. We wanted to spend as little money as possible and use the scraps that we had, right? So he had some walnut on hand, nothing too wide. I think 11 inches was his widest board. So, and I had in mind that I would love to add some kind of laser cutting into this. And my bed on my full spectrum is only 20 inches wide. Yeah. So just in case, I wanted to size it to a point where it's bigger than normal, but not too large that'll be uncomfortable to play by hand.
Right, right.
So we decided on 21 inches tall by, I think, 14 inches wide. And he showed me when he was first designing it, I was like, is it too big? Is it too small? And I mean, he's playing it and he's going like this. And I'm like, no, it's fine. It's That's good funny. For, yeah, for it's adult fine, yeah. hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I posted this on Reddit the other day, and some my first comment was like, dude, you have the tiniest hands, because nobody really knew
right.
How big or how big this thing was. I'm like, oh, didn't you read the description? I put it on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of people that are watching in as we're going, and something I definitely did want to ask you. So Mike was asking, is this display or is it fully functional? And it is fully functional, but I mean, you incorporated so much electronics into it.
Oh yeah, it's totally fully functional. I had a 10-inch touchscreen monitor for a past project that I used, and I was torn because the original Game Boy size is square.
Yeah.
And this monitor was widescreen, so I had to figure out, do I crop the sides of it to make it a real legit form factor, or do I leave it widescreen so that you can play other games other than Game Boy? So I decided with the former, and turns out there's not a lot that's actually cropped off. So it's still square. You could play games on it, play Game Boy, Super Nintendo, Nintendo. I left it to those three game systems. All the buttons are functional. The volume wheel is kind of like my proudest kind of thing here, because you know that's functional too, that I used on an amplifier that I had to kind of add additional gears to be able to access it.
Oh, that's crazy.
But it's tied in to the main to the main system, and then to step it up a notch, I even added a second channel of audio so that you could flip a switch and make it a Bluetooth music boombox.
Oh, that's cool.
So when you're not playing, it'll just be a boombox. You can just stream your music to it from your phone.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so where did all the electronic stuff come from? Because that's a whole nother area than just like straight up DIY or even video and music. Mm-hmm. Like how did you get into all that?
Yeah. I was always a tinkerer at heart. Like, let me think of my first kind of MacGyver project. When I was a kid, I actually had a cell phone. When I first got my first cell phone, like the Nokia 55, whatever it is, what is it called? Audio systems in the cars for cell phones did not exist.
Okay.
So the only ones that did exist were the 88.1, sending it through the FM. Radio to do that. But I found a way to, and this already exists now obviously, but I hacked my headphone output from my Nokia to plug into my car speakers, and then I hooked up a microphone and hooked it up to the mirror, and I was probably the first person in my whole school to have a working in-car phone system.
That's amazing.
So I had an old 88 hatchback Corolla, and everybody wanted to ride in it just so they can take a phone call and listen to everybody talking through this car speaker. So hacking that was fun. I always was curious about how things work, but I seriously got into electronics. I kind of like, I don't know, maybe during 2011, 2012, when I got my first home, and I was into the whole smart home thing. Mm-hmm. And my brother's an electrician, so I would always call him up and if I had any questions. But I've outfitted my whole house with, I replaced all the light switches to make it all smart and everything. And just all of that stuff was so much fun. I can tell you a ton of stories on how, to the extent of what I've done with this was back in 2011. But now, like, everything's just so much easier. I was going into the walls and actually replacing stuff rather than just plugging something in.
Right, right.
Yeah, but over time, I bought a lot of electronics for just random stuff, and half of the components, I think, in the Game Boy are stuff that I've already accumulated and just needed to put into a project.
Yeah. That's cool. What is what's the craziest thing that you put in your house?
Let's see. Probably not my current house, but my previous house. Combining, I had a recording studio in my house, and I had some clients coming over to record every once in a while. But at the same time, when I was a I'm still a litigation consultant, I would have to travel. Well, then what would happen to my clients who had regular sessions coming over to record? So what I've done is combining Skype, Dropbox, and my recording platform, Logic, at the time, I was able to, and smart home stuff, I was able to allow my clients to come into my house while I was out of town, and I would run recording sessions with them remotely.
Oh, wow.
So in the recording booth, I would have a camera and have the audio feeds feed through Skype so that I can listen to them record right. each take. I would also have a monitor that feeds back to them in an LCD monitor in the booth so they could see me.
Right.
So as if I was still running the session with them. And yes, there will be a little bit of a delay, but when it comes to me, it's all mixed down already.
Right, right.
Because every single take that they've done, every recording is linked to a Dropbox that's constantly sending to me. So at the end of the Skype session, a few minutes later, I would have all the recorded files that we did so I can continue mixing down in my hotel room.
That's crazy.
it was very robust. It was very solid. And I'm surprised that there was no system out there that would have something similar. There probably is, but it probably costs $1,000 right. or more, yeah. or a couple thousand. But to have just, you know, a mixture of adapters and everything and making everything work, ins and outputs and yeah. trial and error, I was able to get it to work with Skype and Dropbox. And in order to – and I had security, obviously. I didn't – you know, I had cameras all over the house that I would turn right. on just to make sure that people stay where they're supposed to stay.
Right, right, right.
It's basically – my studio is basically right after the front door. That's where it is. And then there's a closet where you go in for the recording booth. But to make it even more secure, I had, you know, a remote key unlock for the front door. I wouldn't give them a code. I used a combination of Apple scripts on my desktop that would have a kind of like an RSA kind of key system, uh-huh. where any given day there would be a code that I would need to give them by text so that they could text my house. My house had its own text number, and they would text my house a code. And then it would spit back. It was kind of being funny about it. It would spit back some kind of message like, what is the password or something?
Yeah,
and right. then they would respond. And then they respond. And then if it's correct, it would unlock the door.
That's great.
And then they would go in. Once it unlocks the door, that I get a text message saying that my door was unlocked.
Right.
You know, back in the day, that's now standard, right? But then I would go in and take a break and go in, log into my cameras and, you know, notch out that session time. Tell my lawyer friends like, hey, I got to go into a meeting real quick. I'll be right back. And then I run a recording session.
That's crazy.
But
that's
so fun. That was the most fun project. And it tapped in a whole bunch of different skill sets that you know, I didn't think would actually work. But yeah, that was fun.
So all the craziness with the Game Boy makes more sense. That's wild. So how are you running?
Go over the top with that.
Yeah. So is it like a Raspberry yeah. Pi with like emulators on it? Is that kind of the guts of it?
It is. Yeah. Okay. It's a Raspberry Pi. The operating system would be RetroPie. And I had an old Raspberry Pi. Like I think it's like version 1 or,
oh, wow.
or
okay.
B plus. Yeah. So it's a little laggy, you know. The good thing about it is I could swap it out for the next version, you know, when I need to. But I was able to get it done. And yeah, it's a Raspberry Pi. And to be able to mix the two signals where it's Bluetooth or Raspberry Pi audio, I had to create a passive audio mixer, a two-channel audio mixer with some potentiometers to get it to work. So it's already pre-mixed in the Game Boy. So I can even stream music while I'm playing the Game Boy.
Oh, cool.
You know, if I don't want to listen to the music from the Game Boy and just listen to whatever music,
yeah.
I can get that done too.
Yeah. How long ago did you finish it?
I think about maybe about a week, a solid week.
Okay.
We was down to the wire. I took full advantage of that extra month that we got.
Right, right.
And I put everything else into it and just, you know, just added more features to it. I had a bunch more, but I mean, I could go all day. Just like with, I guess, any designer or graphic designer, you can never be satisfied with, you know, one thing. You just have one thing to edit or couple of pixels here to fix, or you know, something like that. That's kind of how I was with the Game Boy, and I kind of had to just stop myself.
Yeah.
Because I was spending sleepless nights on this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we finished it about a week because I needed more time to put some videos together for the challenge submission, I guess.
So are there build videos coming out about it other than just kind of what you've already posted?
Yeah. A lot of people are asking that. I have like 500 gigs worth of footage on this thing. So I'm definitely going to make a build video. That's where I'm kind of stuck with. I don't know how I'm going to approach the presentation aspect of it. Is it just going to be one 20-minute long build video of music montages that you might have seen in my feed? Or am I going to talk about it? You know, just like this, maybe I'll intersperse some talking just to describe certain things or certain issues that I had. Or maybe I might incorporate some of the stories where I did do some talking on Instagram and just drop that into the YouTube video to add context to some of the stages in the development. So I don't know if I'm, you know, there's a lot of options. I haven't, I've dropped all the footage into a timeline right now, but I'm at that point where, all right, how do I want to develop this? And also thinking ahead, you know, is this style going to be something that I want to continue in future builds? But, you know, I talked to a lot of people about this and they're saying, you know, just do it and see what sticks, you know, what you feel comfortable with and, just take it from there.
Yeah. It is, that's crazy. So have you, have people like seen it? Like, I know we're like, it's all crazy right now, so you can't really like go out, but like, have you had any crazy reactions when you've shown it to people around you? And especially like when it turns on and like, oh dang, I can actually play this.
Yeah. Nobody has seen it yet. Just my wife and my kids.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So it could be fake. I don't know.
Yeah. You're doing
nobody
some.
Nobody's seen it yet because I haven't taken it out to public yet, but I mean, you bring up a good idea. I wonder what it would be like if I was to just start walking around with it on my shoulder like a boombox.
that would probably work pretty well on YouTube as a reaction video or something crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I see a future with this Game Boy, and you know, I'd love to give Ricky an opportunity to see this in person as well. Like I offered to ship it to him, and he's like, okay, well, whatever, we'll see what happens. We still don't know who's going to ultimately keep it.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd love to continue having this Game Boy as like, you know, a character in its own and maybe have some cameos every once in a while.
Or, yeah.
You know, maybe you might see me downtown carrying it on my shoulder and having a second man just videotaping all the reactions. People funny. Like, what is that?
Oh, that's so crazy.
Or take it to a Maker Faire or, you know, if they ever come back or you Workbench Con or, you know.
Yeah, I know folks would love to see it, especially at like a Maker Faire or a Workbench Con. So do you have any other builds like that that like you have in the works or you just kind of in between projects right now?
You know, this Game Boy project is actually truthfully one of the first passion projects that I've ever made. And this was my opportunity to go all out in everything that I knew and put it into a single project without having any kind of direction. A lot of the stuff that I've made, it was basically commissioned projects and stuff that people asked me to do. I didn't have a lot of creative control. So this is the very first kind of full-on project that I did from the ground up after Ricky had sent me the body, just kind of strutting my stuff on the insides. But no, I don't have any major projects right now. Like, I do have a ton of build videos that I need to put together from other past projects, but none of them that are as intricate or as detailed or as, like, cool as the Game Boy. Like, I have the closest one, I guess, would be maybe I built a kind of two 10-foot console tables that were made for a Family Feud game setup.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah, it was like a modern take on Family Feud and had the buzzer podium and everything. So, you know, I always love throwing lights wherever I can or any kind of electronics, right? As I said, just adding more interactivity. So that might be the closest where it's kind of a hybrid woodworking slash electronics kind of thing to it. I do have, you know, I feel like maybe my channel might be something that incorporates a little bit of both, not just a full-on woodworking build or something. There's always going to be some kind of addition to that.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, man, if you keep making stuff like the Game Boy, then people will be flooding to your channel, because that thing's so cool.
I'm kind of worried that, I don't know, maybe I set the bar too high with all that, because I really put blood, sweat, and tears in that thing.
Right.
Now I'm kind of worried, like, okay, what can I make that would top that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. For people that do especially want to check out what you're doing now, is Instagram and YouTube, or are those the places you'd send them?
Yeah, YouTube is brand spanking new. I probably only put it out maybe 4 or 5 days ago. Launched it at AG Does It. So I only have the one Game Boy promo video on there, just so I can, you know, get a foothold on that. Because I don't know, for some reason that was the longest, that was the hardest hurdle to jump over to get on YouTube. I don't know why, because I've been doing videos for many, many years.
Yeah, it's like it's like you've never done videos before, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things. So so after that, it would be Instagram, obviously. That would be where most of my content would be. I do have a highlights on my Instagram that has maybe over 45 minutes of process stories in my highlights about the Game Boy. So up until I have a full-on build video, that's where people can check out the process, at least for my half of the build. Cool. Ricky also has his own highlights for his half of the build. So if they watch all of that together, that's probably going to give people a good idea of how it came together.
Awesome. I'll make sure to include this in all the show notes on this or in the description below. But man, thank you so much for taking the time and chatting. It was a blast.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, totally.
All right, thanks for hanging around to the end of the show. This is where I give you a quick update about the things I've got going on inside of my shop. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, we have our second child coming very, very soon. So that's the biggest update that isn't happening inside the shop. It's going to be happening all over the place. So it's going to be impacting a lot of stuff. But so one thing I have posted, or I put a new video up that goes along with the Fusion 360 course that I mentioned at the beginning of a show, is I am working on a bed build, and I put a video up on kind of the 5 main features that I use Fusion for during that design process. So we get into kind of the 5 key things that I really like about Fusion in the video. And then there's a link from that video to actually creating the 3D model. And I turned that into a little bit of a mini free course for you guys to check out. Links are all in the show notes, or if you just look on YouTube, you'll be able to check it out there. And then in terms of builds, once I get back and once things kind of settle a little bit, I'll be working on that bed build. So it's going to be for our craft room. And the design is kind of unique. At least I think it's a little bit unique with we've got a bunch of storage underneath it. And then it's right now sized for a twin bed. And they will be able, we'll actually do 2 of them that we can push together. So they can kind of be seating in our kind of craft room attic space. And then it can also turn into either 2 twin beds or a big king bed. At least I think that's how beds work. But then lots of storage underneath. And so all of that is modeled. You guys can check that out in Fusion. But those will be the builds that are coming up, as well as lots of kind of fun little laser projects I will be chatting with you guys here soon about that I'll be making as well. So as always, I would love to know the things you guys are working on. Maybe you haven't made a big wooden Game Boy, but I bet you're making something cool. So hit me up over on Instagram at the Make or Break Shop. And until next time, go make or break something in your shop. See you guys.